So there are some things for me that are hard to stop doing. And before you get thinking about it too much, I'm going to assure you that running is not one of those things. I have a really easy time stopping running. I have a harder time starting it. Most of the time if I run, it's because something's chasing me, which is probably the same with some of you as well. But the thing that I cannot stop when I start is Oreos. How many do I have with me, right? Oreos are really hard for me to stop eating, and I cannot just have one, right? You know this struggle, maybe, but you get two or three, or I get two or three typically, and then I'll go back for two or three more, and I'm being modest, but before you know it, the sleeve is gone, or the package is gone, whatever it may be. And so those are really dangerous for me, and even if I'm trying to stop or I know that those are not healthy for me. I'm on a diet. It's still hard for me to stop eating Oreos. And you may have this struggle. I bet you've felt this way before about something. It may not be Oreos. It may not be food. It may be running for some of you. But there's something that we have or you have that may be hard to stop. And as humans, we have this natural tendency to return back to what is comfortable or what is normal. We have this natural tendency to have this desire to return back to those things that are comfortable or normal or the things that we maybe enjoy. Maybe these old ways or old habits, these old sins that we have in our life. And I think this is why so many people that play golf or baseball or softball spend time working on their swing. All right, some of you golfers know you go to the driving range a lot maybe. And I know for me, when I was in baseball, we went to the cage a lot. And we would constantly hit off the tee and hit soft toss and continue to work on the swing. And you had to continue to work on the swing. Even if I did it right one day, it didn't mean that I was going to do it right again. And so I continually worked on my swing because I wanted to try to develop this muscle memory physically and mentally. In the same way, we must continue to work on depending upon God, remembering what he's done. And that's actually our fourth God mark, depend upon God in everything. And if you are familiar with those, you understand that. But if you're not, God marks is basically this plan that we have for personal growth. And so in this plan, we want to have a plan for where we're going and we want to do a few things, and the fourth one is to depend upon God in everything. And this story really highlights that. We must continually depend upon God, and it's not only you and me, but there's people that have struggled this way in the Old Testament as well. And this morning, we're going to be covering the story of Exodus chapters 12 through 15, and we're starting this series called Freedom, Living in a New Normal. And essentially, what we're doing and looking at in this new series is just God freeing the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, using Moses to do this. And so God frees the Israelites using Moses, and then we continue to see them struggle with going back to sin. And so the Israelites struggle with returning back to their life of slavery, though they are free. They struggle. And we see that getting Israel out of Egypt was a challenge, but so too was getting Egypt out of Israel. And at this point in the story that we're going to pick up this morning, the Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for 430 years. So 430 years, they're continuously going and continuously being enslaved by the Egyptians. And many generations are crying out to God, asking him to save them, asking him to free them. And generation after generation is crying out, and God hears the cries of these people. He hears this, and when the timing is right, he calls Moses to come and help lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses was kind of an interesting character. In the first part of his life, Moses was actually raised in Pharaoh's household. He was raised as a prince of Egypt. So Moses was raised a prince of Egypt. He ended up killing a guy as a young man, and he flees Egypt. He left, and where we find Moses in the story in Exodus, Exodus 3, is where Moses is actually a shepherd in the desert. This was a low job in that society. And so Moses has come from the prince of Egypt, and now he's a shepherd in the desert, and he has a speech impediment as well. And so Moses could be described as just this unlikely candidate for God to use, in my opinion. But I love the picture of that God can use anyone and will use anyone. And so Moses is instructed by God to go to Pharaoh and to tell him basically to let the people go. And 9 times Moses goes back, there's plagues that happen, and Pharaoh continues to resist, and the Bible says that his heart is continually being hardened. And so Pharaoh is just getting more and more and more rigid in not allowing the Israelites to be released. And so the point we pick up in our story today is Moses is actually being told by God what is going to happen. And so the 10th plague is being prophesied or told to Moses. And the people of Israel were told to sacrifice a lamb. They were told to take the blood of that lamb and spread it over their doorpost. And the plague was that God was going to come in the middle of the night, and those who had the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, God would then pass over that home, which is why we call it the Passover. So God would pass over the home if there was blood on the doorpost, but if there wasn't, then the firstborn of that family would be killed. And this included Pharaoh's own household. And so we want to pick up this morning, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And if you want to know where Exodus is the second book in the Bible. So if you're flipping in your Bible, open to Genesis, the next book will be Exodus. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, we really want you to have one. And so if you would, go ahead and stop by the Welcome Center on your way out, and we'd love for you to grab a Bible, but the words are going to be on the screen. It says this: "This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." And so the Israelites were about to observe the first Passover, and God was commanding them to observe it every year after that. And the purpose of this was so that they would remember what God was going to do in freeing the Israelites out of Egypt. So they're asked to remember. And then the 10th plague happens, and Pharaoh tells Moses and the Israelites to leave because of the widespread damage that was there and throughout the Egyptian land, including Pharaoh's own household. Pharaoh tells Moses and the Israelites to leave, and I don't know if you can imagine those emotions. I have a hard time imagining that, but this was a huge miracle. 430 years in the making, the Israelites are finally free. They're finally able to go. Think about that this morning. That they were finally free of the slavery and the shackles and the chains, and they were released to live in the freedom of a new normal. And so the people leave Egypt, and they're led through Egypt by this pillar of clouds and pillar of fire, is what it's called. And this was the literal physical presence of God. This wasn't a metaphor. This was literally a cloud in the day and a fire at night in the sky. And this showed that God was with these people. He was there. He was leading them, even though they didn't know where they were going. And the word pillar is used to communicate this. It's used to communicate that God's continual presence through the Israelites is the same with us. God is continually present in our life if we choose to look for him. And so the people were obedient to what God commanded, and they praised God, realizing they couldn't do what was done on their own. So they begin to praise God, and if you'll flip over to chapter 14 in your Bibles, we're going to pick up in verses 5 through 7. It says this in verse 5. "When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, 'What have we done? We have let the Israelites go, and we have lost their services.'" Now, I want to pause real quickly, but this, when I was reading this, this was kind of a funny line to say. It's kind of funny that this was his first thought, that he just thought, "We've lost their services." I mean, it's almost as if he realized what had just happened. He realized that he had lost their services. We'll pick up in verse 6. It says, "So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them." And so Pharaoh has time in Egypt to process what has happened. The Israelites have been gone for a little while, and Pharaoh realizes what has happened. I don't know if Pharaoh had to like lift his own cup or something like that, but he realizes what has happened. And he gets really angry, and he brings his best army together. He begins to pursue the Israelites. And so while all this is happening, the Israelites have been following God, and they're camping by the Red Sea. And so the Israelites have come. They've been camping by the Red Sea, and they're sitting there. And then we'll pick back up in verse 10 of chapter 14, and we'll read what happens. It says this in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" And this to me seems like a bit of an exaggeration. Maybe you parents, if you've been on a long road trip with kids, you've heard, "Are we there yet?" Right? Some of you have probably heard that, or it just seems like this will never end. Right? And in the same moment that we hear those statements, maybe as parents, we see that the Egyptian or the Israelites, after they had been freed from Egypt, were in this moment of frustration. And so they ask Moses, "Did you just bring us out here to die?" And then if we continue reading in verse 11, it says, "What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And so immediately we see that they face this hard situation, and they return back to the mindset of slavery. This old comfort they wanted to go back to, even though it was slavery, but it was comfortable to them. So the Israelites realize that Pharaoh is coming, and they become frightened, and they start to long for this old normal. They start to question what God is doing and what Moses is doing. And they know Pharaoh is coming to kill them. They realize this is imminent death. And so in this moment, I just want to ask you the question, can you relate? I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but there may be times where you've faced something and you just long to return to what was. They long for this comfort, though it was in slavery. And the things they were saying don't line up with how they felt before, but they quickly forgot what God had done. And so we're going to pick back up in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, and I want to read there. It says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.'" I mean, think about what God just said. Divide the sea so that the Israelites can go over on dry ground. And so in this, we see that Moses looks to God about what to do. And I want to stop and look at this metaphor that we see here, because we see just as Pharaoh is pursuing the Israelites after they were free, so our sins and our old life can seem to creep in and close in on us when we are freed by the blood of Jesus. I want you to write this down. When God sets us free, Satan pursues us with our old sins and lives. And isn't that the truth? Satan pursues us when we are freed by the blood of Jesus. Satan pursues us with our old sins and our old lives and our old past. And for some reason, that's tempting for us to turn to. And this causes us to want to return back to slavery. We want to go back to what it was that was comfortable. And so back to the story, we see that God tells Moses to take his staff and raise it and part the sea, and he does that. Over a million people part the sea. And this was another miracle. And so as the Israelites are getting on the other side of the sea, the Egyptian army is coming through, and the waters close over the top of them, and the whole entire army is wiped out. So this problem, this imminent death, is completely gone, and people begin to praise God. And they sing out to God, and Moses writes this long song of praise that speaks to who God is and what God has done. And so for the sake of time, we can't really read through this morning, but I would love for you to go back and read Exodus chapter 15 and see this song that Moses writes. This beautiful song that Moses writes to show what God has done, and he recognizes who God is and the power that God has in his life and in the Israelites' lives. And typically in that time, songs were written to carry information. Paper wasn't as readily available. Books weren't as readily available as they are today. And so songs were written to carry information. And likely this song was supposed to be done or was done for that purpose, so that this information would be carried and that this would be remembered with generations and generations of what God did. And so while it can be easy to look at the Israelites here, I know it is for me, and go, what were they thinking? Like I'm as I'm reading this, thinking in my mind, how could you be so naive? Like God just freed you from slavery in Egypt after 430 years. And then he just crosses the Red Sea and it allows them to cross the Red Sea, and we constantly see them going back to and reverting back to this old comfort of slavery. And I can look at the Israelites and go, you're crazy. But at the same time, I know that we can lose hope and dependence upon God quickly when storms come. And I know that's true in my life. When storms come and when I see something closing in on me that I don't like, I can quickly lose my dependence upon God, and I can quickly forget what God's done in my life and saving me and setting me free. And we can also struggle to let go of the old chains we once had. Though we're free, once we step over the line of faith, it can be a real struggle to let go of the chains that once had us. And for you, I don't know what it looks like this morning, but it may look like an addiction that you just can't break. An addiction that you just cannot overcome. And though it may be something you want to do, you continue to struggle with going back to what it was that you don't want to do. It also may look like a worry, a fear, or an anxiety that you just cannot overcome. You have a hard time getting over something that you fear, and so you just hold on to it because you don't know what the unknown may hold. Or you fear about what may happen. And this is something that I struggle with. It also may be a failure that you've experienced. The things that you've failed with, you just cannot forgive yourself for what's happened or the outcome. And regardless of what it is that you're struggling with, regardless of what it may be for you, it's likely controlling and affecting your entire life. I know for me, it can do that. And so we see that God provides these miracles and is present with the Israelites and sets them free. And the same way, God also made it possible for us to break free from sin. And so it had to take a miracle to get the slaves out of Egypt. And just, I've asked you to imagine what that felt like for 430 years, waiting for 430 years. If you're like me, especially if you are a resident in this area, you know Chick-fil-A lines can be long, right? Yeah. And I have a hard time waiting for 20 minutes for my Chick-fil-A food, and I know if you go through the drive-thru, it's double that, right? I mean, it seems like everybody at lunchtime goes to Chick-fil-A and wants to try the sandwich or whatever it is. But anyway, we see that it's hard for us to wait, but it took this miracle for God to get the slaves out of Egypt. Waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally it happened. It also took a miracle for God to cross the Red Sea, and this was a point of sudden death, and they realized what was happening. And in our last series, we covered, our last series was and will be, we covered what it described and described what it looks like for us to be saved, and that took a miracle. Though we were sinners, Jesus' death on the cross brought us from death to life. And I want you to write this down. Freedom from sin took a miracle. Freedom from sin took a miracle. And the weight and the punishment of sin was on us. There was nothing we could do, just like the Israelites experienced at the Red Sea. There was nothing we could do. Their hope and their lives were completely out of their control. They couldn't do anything. But God saved them and allowed them to cross the Red Sea. And just as the same way, God saved us and allowed us to cross from death to life, though we couldn't do anything about it. And secondly, we must remember that we are free. We must remember that we are free. And the Israelites were constantly called to remember. And we see these words and phrases used, like remember. We see teach the generations. And we see this word memorial used in this passage, in this story, to help us remember this, that God set us free. And this was the purpose of the Passover. And so by remembering what God did, the Israelites realized they weren't able. I want you to write that down. They realized they weren't able. In the desert, Moses knew he couldn't do anything. He knew he was stuck, but he depended upon God. And that is our fourth God mark. If you are unfamiliar with what God marks are, that is our plan for personal growth. And we want to have a plan. And so that is our fourth God mark, which is depending upon God and everything. Secondly, we see that the Israelites realized that God was with them. They realized and recognized that this pillar of clouds and fire that they saw was God with them. And when they were living, recognizing that God was with them, they were obedient to who God called them to be. And lastly, we see this, that they depended upon God to provide. They depended upon God to provide. They knew they couldn't do it, but they depended upon God too, and he did. And for me, it can be time, and I referenced this earlier, but it can be hard or it can be easy for me at times to return to my fear of failure. You see, I struggle and get caught up in so much in this fear of failing that it can control my life. And I know that I'm free, and I know that I cannot please God more or less than I am, but I let a lie control me. I let a lie control me. And when this happens, it can easily cause me to forget my purpose as a Christ follower. And my purpose as a Christ follower is to share Christ, embrace my responsibility to share Christ. And that's our fifth God mark. But I become self-centered and completely dependent upon what I can do. And I don't focus on what God can do in my life or what God can do in others' lives. And so for you this morning, I want to ask you the question, what sin are you tempted to go back to? For you, what is it? As we've seen this morning, that happened to the Israelites as well, but God used Moses in their experience to speak a few truths to them, and I want us to remember these. When experiencing the tension of returning to our old lives, we should remember that God has saved us. And if we are Christ followers, we are free. We should also know that God is present and live lives according to that truth. We also must be completely dependent and obedient to God in all circumstances. And a great way to help you and help with fighting this tension is to have people that are investing into your life, accountable relationships. That's our third God mark. But when you join a small group or you meet with someone weekly, they can help you, hold you accountable to continuously remembering what God has done and knowing God's present and depending upon God in everything. And so I just want us to think for a little bit this morning, what would our lives look like if we applied these things? What would our lives look like? And for me, it would look like a life without the fear of failure. And it would look like a life living in the freedom that I cannot fail God. And immediately my fears are gone, and I can live with hope and purpose and confidently live in the way that God's called me to. For you, it may look like a life without an addiction that traps you, a life that is free from guilt and from shame. For you, it may look like a life without fear and anxiety that comes from facing the unknown and the joy and peace of knowing you're never alone. Or for you, it may look like a life without the hurt and the pain of failure by looking forward to the hope and the life that's set for us in eternity. And so freedom from sin took a miracle. Freedom from sin took a miracle. And God has broken the sin of our lives when we can't. I was reading a book this past week called Liberating King. And in the end of it, the author is closing. And the book is talking about this cycle of sin that we can struggle to break. And in the end of this book, he references the movie Aladdin. And this really helped me memorize this. And though it's just a cartoon, it characterizes the picture that we're talking about this morning. And I kind of get a little bit shaken up thinking about this. And in this scene, this genie has been shackled to this oil lamp his whole entire life. Throughout this whole movie, he's been shackled to this oil lamp, and he cannot escape it. He can only come out when the master tells him to, and he goes back in. In Aladdin, this main character and this master, when he declares to the genie that the words, "You're free," everything changes. And this is the end of the movie, and the shackles fall off, and everything changes for the genie's life. Now he can go and do and explore the world and do all the things that he's been wanting to do and that he was made to do. But it took the master declaring, "You're free," over his life. And this is what it's like when we step over the line of faith. When you step over the line of faith, we are free because Jesus' death, God, our master, declares, "You're free. You're free." And so many times, we can reach down and we can try to pick up the chains. We want to hold on to the chain. Why? Not because it's pretty, but because it's comfortable or it's normal. And just as the Israelites did, they struggled with going back and grabbing the chains of slavery. We too can, but God didn't set the Israelites free so they could go back to slavery. In the same way, God didn't set you free and God didn't set me free so that I could go back and live in a life of sin or live in a life that shackles me. So this morning, I want us to take the chain and let it go. Let's let go of the chains. And I want to ask you the question this morning, what is your next step? Have you been set free? Have you stepped over the line of faith? Or are you free, but you continue to hold on to the chains? Let's let go of the chains this morning. If you are sitting there and you would like to step over the line of faith this morning, I want to pray a prayer, and if you'll just pray that with me. With everybody's bowing your heads and closing your eyes, if you want to be set free this morning, if you have not stepped over the line of faith and you are not a follower of Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And it's not magic, but it's just recognizing that you can't do it and God can, and putting your dependence upon Him and remembering what God did on the cross. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and died on a cross for our sins to set us free from this. And so if you want to step over the line of faith this morning, repeat this prayer. Dear God, I know my sin has chained me. And I recognize that Jesus died on the cross to make me free. And so this morning, I'm depending on you. I want to give you my life and follow you. Father, we are so grateful this morning for the fact that you have redeemed us. God, you have set us free. And there's nothing that can happen to take that away. And so, Lord, we pray for that, or we're grateful for that. And God, I pray this morning, as we go and live lives, that you could help us to remember that we are free, God, and depend upon you for everything. And Lord, when we do that, I know that you want to take our lives and use them for bigger things than we can ever imagine. God, help us remember that this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.